of you who do read the bulletin, sometimes I wonder if anybody does, but if you read it and if you read it carefully, you'll notice that our Bible study and prayer service on Wednesday night is from 6 to 8. At least that's what the bulletin says. But that's not true. It is just the regular 7 to 8 on Wednesday night. So just making note of that, Wednesday 7 to 8. Again, it's our privilege to have Bob and Mary Scott Burns with us, missionaries to Norway. We've supported them now for, since they've been in Norway. I'm not sure how many years that's been. But we've been supporting them since they've been to Norway, and we're glad to be able to do so and be part of that ministry and look forward to hearing what God's doing in Norway.
Thank you, Pastor Hauser. It is really a joy for us to be back here at Independent Baptist Church after 4 years of being away. And we have been in Norway for 14 years. It will be 14 years in August this year. And so we thank the Lord for these years. And it's especially a joy for us to be able to give you an update, especially over these past 4 years, of what the Lord has done. There's much happening, and we praise the Lord for that. Before I share some of those things, though, I just want to give a special thank you to you. We so much appreciate your faithfulness in supporting us financially and in prayer. And one thing that we really thank you for is raising the level of support that you have given to us. I'm sure you recognize that the dollar doesn't stay flat. Things keep changing, and costs in Norway are the same way. They keep going up as well. And so we appreciate so much your sensitivity to those needs that we have and the way that you have responded to that. And so we just want to say a great thank you to you for your faithfulness. I'll give you a welcome to Oslo, Norway, and the new opera house that was built in downtown Oslo in recent years says a lot about Norwegian people. Norwegians are really outdoors people, and so you can see that this opera house is not meant just to be enjoyed on the inside, but it's actually meant to be enjoyed all over. And people climb all over this whole building like a mountain. And so that says a lot about the Norwegian way of life. You can even walk right up onto the top of this building and have a great view of the city of Oslo from there. And whether it's in the city or whether it's in the country, Norwegians love to be outside, hiking in the mountains or being involved in outdoor sports. Perhaps you saw the Winter Olympics this year. Did anyone hear the name Norway mentioned at all? Well, you might wonder, how can a small country like Norway, about 5.5 million people, how can they compete on a national level? Well, the reason is that everybody competes. Norwegians are very athletic and very active in sports, especially the winter sports, and so they're able to compete because that's a way of life for them. Norwegians are also a people of tradition, and when you go to Norway on a special occasion like the 17th of May, which is the Norwegian national holiday, people will be wearing the national costume, and the bunad, as it's called, is particular to each region of Norway. Each area has its own design and colors, and so Norwegians love their tradition. And even though you see older folks in this picture, the bunads are for everyone. Typically a young person will get their bunad when they reach their teen years. The Lutheran Church is also a part of tradition in Norway. And it's very interesting that the Lutheran Church is a place where people feel they should go on special occasions, like Christmas, or a wedding, or a funeral, or a confirmation. It's very important in the culture. But in a way, the Lutheran Church is somewhat like the bunad. It's something that people put on for special occasions. It doesn't have anything to do with their real belief system or their real way of life. And so this is why we are in Norway, because we want people to understand that Christ is a person, and to have a relationship with him through his shed blood is to be forgiven of sin and to know eternal life. And it is a relationship. It's not just something that we put on and put off. Things in Norway have changed in these past 10 years. 10 years ago, there were about 86% of people in Norway that were members of the state church. Now that number has reduced by about 10%, so only 76% are now members of the Lutheran Church. And so you can see that the climate in the country is really changing drastically, and we see that in our ministry in Norway. The real belief system in Norway is that of secular humanism. And that is really the belief system that people hold to on a daily basis in their everyday lives. Some other big changes happened in Norway since 2011. On July 22nd, 2011, a bomb was set off in the government quarter in downtown Oslo, bringing a tremendous tragedy to the nation. There were 8 people killed in this blast, and 209 people were injured. And if that were not enough, on a small island outside of the city of Oslo, out in a beautiful lake, there was a summer camp with campers. And a few hours after the explosion in the city, a gunman landed on this island and started shooting people. And 69 young people were killed at this summer camp, and 110 were injured. So it was a tremendous national tragedy. I'm sure you heard about this somewhat in the news, but I know how it is. You hear these things, and then, you know, it's here today and gone tomorrow. But of course, in Norway, this is not something that's here today and gone tomorrow. Norwegians have wondered how such a thing could happen in their pristine country. Amazingly enough, the bomb that was set off in the downtown and the shootings that happened on this island were all committed by one man, a right-wing person who was opposed to the government, but he was a Norwegian. And the Norwegians were just scratching their heads and wondering, how could a Norwegian do something like this? The underlying thought is, we are good people. We don't do this sort of thing. And so it was really quite a wake-up call for the country. And of course, we know the answers to these questions. We understand that sin is the reason that things like this happen, and that we are not good people in our basic nature, but we're sinners in need of a redeemer. And so this is the climate in which we're working now, and that climate is a bit different than it was a few years ago. This is the building where our group of believers is meeting, the International Baptist Church. And we thank the Lord for this building, which we were able to move into in 2000, right between 2005 and 2006. And we are located about 20 minutes drive outside the city of Oslo. And I'm not sure how well you can see the picture there. It's not so easy to see. But there are small red dots all around on this map. And those tiny little red dots are where our people are coming from. And basically, if you can see where the water is, and the city of Oslo, and people are coming from all around the Oslo fjord to attend our church. Some of them are traveling maybe 40, 45 minutes by car. And so we have a very unique ministry in many respects. And we thank the Lord for the people that he is adding to the work there. Our church has existed now for 35 years. So we were not the ones that started this ministry. But we are hoping within the next couple of years to see the church call its own pastor and be able to stand on its own. And with the position of the church as it is right now, our desire then, once we finish seeing this church completely established, is not to leave them, but actually to help them to plant another church, that they would be a mother church for a daughter church, perhaps on the other side of the Oslo Fjord. So as you think about us in the days ahead, this is where we are ministry-wise, and it's challenging. You know, it's challenging to have a change of leadership. That can be very frightening for people. You know, change is frightening. And so please pray for us as we take these steps and help the church to stand on its own two feet. The International Baptist Church is truly international. We have folks from about 30 different countries that are part of the congregation. Many of those are Norwegians who have married outside of their culture. So we not only have international people in the church, but we have international families as part of our church as well. And you might think, well, this is a subculture in Norway. Actually, it's not. It really represents the community that we live in. We live in quite a multicultural community. I'd like to introduce you to some of the folks in our church, because then it'll give you a flavor of who is attending and the people that God has brought our way. The young lady on the right is Sonia. She's a German girl, a Christian, and she started attending our church a couple of years ago, and she invited her coworker Stein, who is a Norwegian, to one of our banquets, and Stein started coming. And he's not a believer yet at this point, but he's heard the gospel repeatedly, and he's open. And so we're praying for Stein to come to know the Lord. One of the blessings of this past term is the addition of a baptistry in our building. We were able to purchase a portable baptistry, and so instead of having baptisms off-site, where not everyone would come, we now have the blessing of having baptisms right on Sunday morning, where everyone in the congregation can see the testimonies that are given and realize the importance of believers' baptism. So that's been a great blessing to us. This young lady that's being baptized is Frida. Frida is a Norwegian girl who came to the U.S. as an exchange student, and she was saved while she was here in the USA. And her host family got in touch with us so that she would have a place of fellowship. And so we've had the privilege of discipling her and seeing her added to the church, and that's been a great blessing. In addition to these young people that you've seen, we have a tremendous group of college and career-age young people that God has brought into our congregation, most of them within the past 3 or 4 years. Mary Scott has been working with this group of young women, and she's been team teaching the group with Sarah Mehta, one of the young ladies in the group. Sarah doesn't look very Norwegian, but actually she is, her mom is Norwegian and her dad is Indian, and she's grown up in Norway, and that's somewhat of the multicultural community that we have. But Sarah is proving to be a great Bible teacher and is doing a wonderful job of working with her peers in that Bible study ministry. When we left for the field after our last furlough, one of my great prayer requests was that God would add some young men to our congregation. We were bringing our son Matthew home to the States for college. And in a way, our our discipleship time with him was finished, and I was looking around, and I just didn't see young men in our church. And, you know, God is faithful to answer prayer. And when we returned to Norway, there was not just one, but several young men that God had brought into the church even while we were away. This is a young Norwegian couple that came into the church, and this young man feels called into the ministry. And so Mary Scott and I have been able to work with them in discipleship and counseling. And Christian has preached a couple of times at IBC. And so we're eager to see how God is going to work in the days ahead in their lives. This is another young couple. Håkon Skugadal is a Norwegian, and he married an American, Molly. And this couple is very faithful in serving in ministry, teaching Sunday school, and working to organize activities, outreach activities that we have. And so we've been working with them as well in discipleship. As I mentioned, our son Matthew started at school at Northland up in Wisconsin, and he just finished in May. But during his college years, he had the opportunity to make a couple of missions trips to North Africa, and our church in Norway supported him in that effort. And so we thank the Lord for that. Matthew, at this point, feels called by God to return to Norway long term, but he is going to pursue seminary first. So that's his next step. And so if you think of Matthew, please pray for him, that God would build into his life those qualities that he needs, and that he would bring him back to Norway, because there is a tremendous need, and we are looking forward to seeing him return to the field, Lord willing. This is another young man that came into our congregation while I was away on our last furlough. Daniel Mehta, the brother to Sarah Mehta, is an unusual young man. When I met Daniel, he had already taught himself Greek. He was a medical student working toward his medical doctorate, and he was already teaching a Bible study among his peers. And so Daniel came to our church because he was looking for a church that taught the Bible. He couldn't find that anywhere else. And so we had the great privilege of working with him. I helped him to improve in his Bible teaching. And he spent some days with me learning how to study the Bible and how to preach. And after we spent that time together, he came back to me later with a sermon ready to go. And so Daniel has preached a couple of times at the International Baptist Church. Interestingly enough, when he finished his doctorate last year, the Lord opened the door for him to go to the far north of Norway, way above the Arctic Circle, where he's doing his medical residency. So in a way, we have sent our first missionary out to the far north of Norway. And so we thank the Lord for Daniel and for the ministry that he had with us. And he was actually teaching 3 Bible studies every week in our congregation. So we miss him a lot. But we are just thankful for the opportunity we've had to have input in his life. This fellow you saw in being baptized, his name is Brian. Brian has Kenyan heritage, but he came to live in Norway as a teen. His mother married a Norwegian, and so he is also Norwegian. And Brian started teaching some of the Bible studies that Daniel was teaching when Daniel left. And so when we return to Norway this next term, we're going to be working more with Brian to encourage him and hopefully see him grow in his ability to teach. Another young couple that I'm really excited about. This young couple came into our congregation just this past year. Jan Sandra is a Norwegian fellow. He came to the Oslo area to attend the Lutheran School of Theology in the area. He was working toward his master's degree, and he believes God is calling him to be a pastor. But interestingly enough, he did not agree with all of the Lutheran doctrine that he was being taught. And he and his wife were looking for a sound Bible teaching church. And that's how they came to our church. And Jan Sundra has recently written a paper on baptism, defending the point of view of believers' baptism. And when we return to Norway at the end of July, Jan Sundra is going to be baptized. And so we're excited about that. And I believe that that this young couple will be a dynamic couple in the future as far as leadership in Norway. And so it's a great blessing that we have to mentor them and work with them. And so we just praise the Lord for adding all of these young couples to our church and ministry. And we're eager to see what God is going to do in the days ahead. This is at Christmas this year. And I'm showing this picture mainly because I wanted to show you the young man on the left. It's my son on the right. Some of you that have an old prayer card of ours might remember a little redheaded boy. Well, our son Matthew is now 6'4", if you can believe that. So he's towering over me. But the young man on the left is Tim Sossen. Tim came to Norway through ABWE, not to work with us, but to work 8 hours north of us with a fellow Norwegian pastor. And Tim has just ended his 2-year short term in Norway. Tim has done a great job. He has mobilized teams of young people to come into Norway. And now that he's returning to the States, he's going to be doing the same thing from Virginia while he pursues a master's degree at Liberty University. And so I mention this because Tim has a great influence with other young people. And we would love to see God lead other people to Norway. So pray for Tim, that God would use him and perhaps even one day return him to Norway full time. I think that that's probably what will happen. But we have to wait and see what God's will is for Tim. And then remember to pray for our family. And I just put this up just so that you can see the whole family together. Our daughter Margaret on the right is 27 now. It's hard to believe. She's living at home and working locally in a flower shop. She's training to be a florist and doing a great job with that. And at the same time, she's recognizing that God can give her a ministry in that work. And, of course, she is very faithful in ministering at the International Baptist Church with us. So we thank the Lord for that. And I've already given you a little update on Matthew. So we just ask you to pray for our family as we continue to serve in Norway. So that gives you a little bit of an update in reference to our ministry. We have exciting days ahead, I believe. There are some days of change ahead of us. But in some ways, I've given you the rosy picture. But there are some major challenges that we are facing right now. You know that whenever good things are happening, whenever positive things are happening, the enemy is not sitting by quietly. And one of the challenges that we have at the International Baptist Church at the moment is with a difference in a way of perceiving God's Word. It's very interesting that the young people that we have, the young men and some of these young couples that we have, are really eager to study the Word of God. They're very diligent to read the Bible and to study it. And they are asking some difficult questions of those who are older in the ministry, older in the church. And some of those who are older are feeling a little threatened by some of the questions that they're receiving. And so we are feeling some tension between youth and age, but it's not really youth and age. It really has more to do with whether or not the Word of God is a guidebook for us or whether it is our standard for everything that we believe and that we practice. And so, as we go back to Norway, we are facing some big challenges in just trying to bring the church together in unity. And so we would ask you to please pray especially for us as we return, that we would have wisdom to work with everyone concerned, and that the church would grow in unity, and that they would recognize God's purpose for them, and that they would respond to that. Well, this evening, I would like to share with you a brief message with the time that I have remaining, and I will keep it short. I won't try your patience this evening, but I want to share this message with you because I have two purposes in it. First of all, my desire is to share some things from the Scripture that represent our philosophy of ministry, what it is that we're trying to accomplish in working as we do. And so we'd like to share that just so that you have a greater sense of how we're working with folks in Norway. The second purpose that I have, and perhaps the greater purpose, is that I would stimulate your thinking so that you would be encouraged to love one another more and to do the good works here in Tawanda that God wants you to do. And so that's my twofold purpose in sharing the Scripture with you this evening. We already read the Scripture passage, so if you want to take your Bibles and turn with me to Acts chapter 11, starting at verse 19. Acts 11:19. I'd like to speak to you about fellowship in action. You might not think of fellowship as directly connected with missions, but after this message, I hope you'll change your mind. And when I speak about fellowship, I'm speaking about the broader Bible view of fellowship. I know when we use the word fellowship, oftentimes we're using it in a very narrow sense of the time that we have after the service where we talk to one another and encourage one another. Or perhaps when we get together for a church dinner, we have fellowship. Or we have other meetings where we're together and we have fellowship. But I would like to speak to you about that type of fellowship that comes from the Greek word koinonia, which is a little bit broader. It's a word that has to do with partnership, with participating together. Someone has said that fellowship is two fellows in the same ship. And we laugh at that. But actually, there's a lot of truth in that saying. Because if two fellows are in the same ship, then they better have the same goals, and they better be going in the same direction together, or they're going to be in trouble. And so fellowship really depends on having a common purpose and common goals together in ministry. So that's the broader meaning of fellowship that I'd like for us to consider as we look at Acts chapter 11. Look with me at verse 19. It says, "Now they which were scattered abroad upon the persecution that arose about Stephen traveled as far as Phoenicia and Cyprus and Antioch, preaching the word to none but unto the Jews only. And some of them were men of Cyprus and Cyrene, which, when they were come to Antioch, spake unto the Grecians, preaching the Lord Jesus. And the hand of the Lord was with them, and a great number believed and turned unto the Lord." The first aspect of fellowship that I want to point out is the fellowship of evangelism. Evangelism is a part of our fellowship. If you notice, these people that are mentioned here in Acts chapter 11, they are not missionaries, they're not pastors, they're not apostles. These are the regular folks that sit in the pews. Of course, they didn't have pews then, but these were your average everyday believers who were scattered abroad when Stephen was martyred. And they took seriously the words of the Lord Jesus Christ, the Great Commission, to take the good news about salvation through the name of Jesus Christ and to share it with other people. And so these believers, taking that word seriously, did just that. And we see that the word of God spread as far north as to the city of Antioch. The fellowship of evangelism is something that we see on many of the pages of Scripture. You might remember how the Apostle Paul wrote to the Philippians in chapter 1 of Philippians, "I thank my God upon every remembrance of you, always in every prayer of mine for you all, making request with joy for your fellowship in the gospel from the first day until now." And so our fellowship is a fellowship that includes the gospel. It includes evangelism. I'd like to go back to the ship illustration and ask, what kind of ship is fellowship? It is not a cruise ship. Has anyone here been on a cruise before? Anyone been on a cruise? I think I saw maybe one or two hands. I actually have not been on a cruise myself, but I've been on a fancy ferry boat. My understanding is that on a cruise, there are two kinds of people. There's the crew, and the crew works night and day to keep the passengers happy, and they do all of the work. And then you have the passengers who don't have any job to do. They just eat, and they just enjoy the cruise. They eat night and day and have all kinds of fun. At least that's what I've heard. Maybe you've heard that too. But that is not a good picture of the local church, is it? Now, unfortunately, some local churches can be this way, where you have a crew that does all the work, and then you have everybody else who is just kind of along for the ride and enjoying all the things that the crew is providing for them. Now, that's a bad example of a fellowship. What kind of ship is fellowship? It's not a cruise ship, but it is a cargo ship. Think of that. Just picture that in your minds, a cargo ship. Now, on a cargo ship, you have one kind of person. You have the crew. Everyone is a member of the crew on the cargo ship. And the job of the crew is to make sure that that cargo is safely delivered from one place to another. In the case of the church, our cargo is the gospel. It is the good news about Jesus Christ. And it's our job as a church to work together, all of us, in evangelism. Now, we might not all be the mouthpiece. Some of us might have other jobs that we do, but we're all working together for the same purpose. And that is to see that the good news of the gospel is delivered. And so our fellowship is a fellowship of evangelism. And these first century Christians really understood that. And I say this to you this evening to encourage you to get a hold of that same idea. In our ministry in Norway, one of the things that we have done to try to get the gospel out is to have an activity once a month. And it's not a gospel-centered activity in itself, but our purpose is to build bridges with people in our community. And so we have had cooking classes, and we have had hikes and barbecues and astronomy nights, and we've even had self-defense evenings. We've done just about anything that you can think of that will have interest to people in our community. And the folks in our church know that it is their job once a month on the fourth Friday of the month to invite a friend or a coworker or a family member to the event so that they can meet people who are believers. That is a bridge-building activity that we do. Molly and Håkon Skugadal that you saw are the ones in our church who are taking that responsibility to organize all those activities. They don't do them themselves, but they do the organizing. And so they are involved in in helping us as a church to get out the gospel in that way. Some young women in our church this past few months while we've been away felt a burden to write some tracts. And so they did. They wrote some tracts in Norwegian and had them published. And now those tracts are going to be used in street evangelism. And so we had some talented young women who maybe not every one of them could very effectively present the gospel on the street, but they could write a tract. So when you think about it, the ways of being involved in evangelism are endless. It's just as much as the creativity that is in us. But everybody can share a part. And so these are some of the things that we are trying to do. And I trust that maybe my mentioning these things will stimulate your thinking about ways that you can be involved in evangelism right here in your own community. As we look in further in this passage, starting in verse 22, we see another aspect of fellowship. Verse 22, then tidings of these things came unto the ears of the church which was in Jerusalem. And they sent forth Barnabas, that he should go as far as Antioch, who, when he came and had seen the grace of God, was glad, and exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord. For he was a good man, and full of the Holy Ghost and of faith, and much people was added unto the Lord. The second aspect of fellowship is that of encouragement. When the church at Jerusalem heard what was going on at Antioch, they didn't just say to themselves, oh, praise the Lord. Isn't that wonderful that people are getting saved up there in Antioch? They took responsibility. When they heard that there were new believers, they sent Barnabas so that he would go and help them. Barnabas was the right man for the job. Son of consolation, he's called in Scripture. And the word that's used in verse 23 when it says that he exhorted them is the way the language is here. It's not just a one-time pat on the back. Barnabas didn't just come and say, praise the Lord that you're saved. Keep on for the Lord. It wasn't that. Rather, it was a continual act of encouragement. So you see, Barnabas was involved in a ministry of encouragement. And also when it says here that he exhorted them all that with purpose of heart they would cleave unto the Lord, the idea here, purpose of heart, has to do with a set plan and orderliness. In other words, we would call this spiritual discipline. Now, those of us that have been saved for a while recognize that a new baby Christian doesn't know how to walk with the Lord yet. They don't know how to read their Bible every day the way they should. They don't know how to pray the way they should. There are many things about overcoming sin and other things in their life that are not in place yet. And so Barnabas was helping these young believers to put spiritual discipline into their life. He was coming alongside of them to help them in that process. I mentioned this young lady named Frida, who became a Christian here in the U.S. When she came to Norway, in our church, we have a dear sister in the Lord named Moira. Moira is a Scottish lady. She's older than Mary Scott and I. She came to the Lord because she became a widow at a very young age. Her husband, a Norwegian man, died. And it was through that experience that she came to Christ. But Moira is an encourager like a Barnabas. And Moira is the one that took Frida under her wing and discipled her, helped her to understand the basic things in the Christian life concerning walking with the Lord. And now Frida is a thriving member of our college and career young people's group. But it was really Moira coming alongside that helped Frida to grow in her walk with the Lord. Really, in the church, all of us should be involved in this ministry of encouragement. We're all called to that. There are people within your fellowship who need your encouragement. I don't know who they are, but if you look, you'll find them. And my encouragement to you is that that you would find someone who needs your encouragement, that you would work with them and help them to put that spiritual discipline in their life that you have learned in your life. Maybe it's children who need that, young people growing up. Maybe it's youth that need it. Maybe it's other adults who are maybe newer in their faith and needing to grow. But we all can be involved, like a Barnabas, in that ministry of encouragement coming alongside. There's one other aspect of fellowship that I want to point out in this chapter. And in verse 25, it says, "Then departed Barnabas to Tarsus for to seek Saul. And when he had found him, he brought him unto Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church and taught much people. And the disciples were called Christians first in Antioch." I'm sure that last verse has stood out to you before. You can't help but see those words, that they were called Christians first in Antioch. It kind of jumps off the page at you when you read the chapter. But do you ever stop and think about what is actually involved here? It's very interesting to note that Barnabas went looking for help. He must have felt like a one-armed paper hanger, you know, with all of these young Christians in this city of Antioch, a city of about 500,000 people, basically the same size as the city of Oslo, interestingly enough. It was the third largest city in the Roman Empire. But here was Barnabas with a huge task. And so he went looking for Saul, who he knew could help him in this ministry. It says in verse 26 that when he found him, he brought him to Antioch. And it came to pass that a whole year they assembled themselves with the church. Now we don't have just individual believers here and there scattered around, but they're gathered together. There's a church. A church has been formed. Now, that's different. It's the first time the word church comes up in the chapter. But not only that, we see that through that ministry of teaching in the local church, that sanctification was taking place. It says here that they were called Christians. It doesn't say that they called themselves Christians, but rather they were called Christians. The people in the community around them were looking at them and saying, those people belong to Christ. As your pastor rightly said, Christians means Christ ones. And so the community was recognizing that the people in this congregation were growing in sanctification. They wouldn't have known to call it that, but really that's what's happening, isn't it? They're growing in Christ-likeness. And people all around them were seeing that happening. When the church is functioning the way that it should, that's what happens. People grow in sanctification. They grow in their walk with the Lord. And truly, that's what we want to see happen, isn't it? And I believe as we're involved in these various areas of evangelism and encouragement, and then gathered together for teaching in the local church, that the end result is that sanctification will take place. We will all grow as a result. Just to conclude the chapter, I'll read the last few verses here, because it's a beautiful ending to the chapter. And there is a circle of fellowship that is completed when you come to the end of the chapter. And in these days, verse 27, came prophets from Jerusalem unto Antioch. And there stood up one of them, named Agabus, and signified by the Spirit that there should be great dearth throughout all the world, which came to pass in the days of Claudius Caesar. Then the disciples, every man according to his ability, determined to send relief unto the brethren which dwelt in Judea, which also they did, and sent it to the elders by the hands of Barnabas and Saul. At the beginning of the story, you remember that the church in Jerusalem heard a report that people were coming to know Christ in Antioch. Now, the church at Antioch hears a report that the church in Jerusalem has a need. And so they take a collection and send it to them. Isn't that a beautiful picture of how fellowship works? That the church in Jerusalem responded to a need, and the church was built up and strengthened as a result. And then that church turned around and gave back to the church that sent them help. It's really a beautiful picture. And in many ways, it represents what I hope to be doing this evening with you. Because you have poured your prayers and your efforts into our ministry in Norway. And so this evening, we've been able to share a little bit with you about how God has taken what you have done and multiplied it and turned it into a blessing. And I trust that what I've shared with you tonight is of encouragement to your heart, and also that you are stirred in your heart to be more faithful to the Lord right here in your own local church. May the Lord be glorified in this ministry and in the ministry that's going on in Norway as well. Let's just look to the Lord in prayer, and then Pastor will come and close as he sees fit. Father, we thank you for your word. I thank you, Lord, for the beautiful picture of fellowship that we have seen here this evening in Acts chapter 11. And Father, I pray that our fellowship would have these same characteristics, that we would be working faithfully in evangelism to spread the gospel, that we would be working in a ministry of encouragement with those who need to grow, and that we ourselves would be built up in the local church in sanctification. Lord, may you be glorified in your church. And we pray this in Jesus' name. Amen.
Thank you, Bob, for that tonight. Certainly, we've had a great report on what God's doing in Norway. And with that, certainly needs for which we need to be praying. This challenge from God's word, we need to make sure we have that fellowship of evangelism and that fellowship of encouraging one another and the fellowship of edifying one another as we are growing in the Lord. Certainly that is a great need for us as a church as well as we continue to serve the Lord here. Let's stand together and be dismissed as we pray for the Burns and as we seek God's will for our own lives. Father, we do thank you for this time together tonight. Thank you for Bob and Mary Scott and for their ministry there in Norway. We thank you for the International Baptist Church. And Father, we would ask that you would continue to guide them and direct them, bless them. Thank you for the souls that have been saved and those who have come into the church, those who are serving faithfully. And yet, Father, as Bob has shared with us tonight, always the enemy of our soul is there seeking whom he may devour. And we would pray for the protection of that church this evening as they would seek future leadership and even a pastor for the church. We'd ask, Father, that there would be unity among them, that they would together seek your will, and as they would seek your will, that they together would know what you would have them to do in the calling of a pastor. And Father, we do pray for their family. We pray for Matthew and for Margaret. We'd ask, Father, that you would continue to use them in the ministry there in Norway. We recognize Matthew's desire to go to seminary. Pray for him, Father. We pray for him, Father, and ask you to guide him through those years of training. And if it be your will that you would direct him back to Norway to continue to serve you there. Father, we do rejoice in the privilege of being a church of Jesus Christ. Christians, Christ ones, may we as a church truly have the fellowship of which Bob spoke this evening. And it is in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Good evening.